The reading that follows is an entire chapter in Volume 2 of Arise, Shine, Be Encouraged. Each devotional is followed by the next one. This sound marks that change. You can download this chapter as a whole unit and listen as you exercise or walk or drive. 40 days of tests. Satan's temptation comes in our weak moments. From Luke 4, verses 1 and 2, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Now, earlier this year, I completed a month-long fast, refraining from coffee, all meat, breads, and sweets. I confess I had some rough times, but I grew spiritually as God's grace equipped me to deal with the hunger and desire. When I read these verses, I am reminded of my fast. We see that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the desert, where he fasted for 40 days and was tested by Satan. The battle lines had already been drawn generations before his birth. The eternal fight between God and Satan, good and evil, righteousness and sin, heaven and hell, faith and fear, was on again. Satan, the supreme opportunist, showed up and offered food to a fasting and hungry Jesus. God's grace and power ruled, and once again Satan was defeated. In our daily lives, Satan, the father of lies, enemy, tempter, accuser, adversary, deceiver, thief, roaring lion, murderer, power of darkness, prince of the air, ruler of the world, ruler of demons, and wicked one. Satan will test us. As a Christian, I am comforted by the fact that the issue was settled on the cross once and for all. The blood of Jesus handed Satan and every demonic spirit eternal defeat. The blood of Jesus protects me, anoints me, and assures me victory in every battle. Like Jesus, I have to walk it out one day at a time as long as I live. Child of God, are you being tested today? Is your favorite food or dessert, sex, porn, alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, power, money, greed testing you? Remember, Jesus knows the pain of hunger and temptation. He knows it is real. I encourage you to pray and ask him to help you. I bear witness that his grace will enable you to win every battle and pass every test. Father, thank you for loving us and sending Jesus to live, suffer, and die as a man on the cross for our sins. Jesus, your example in the face of tests, temptation, and suffering, gives me courage and confidence. I receive your grace to face every battle and test. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. No trespassing. Tell Satan, you're not welcome here. You must leave. From Scripture, Luke 22, verse 3, we read, "Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12." All right, now here we see the phrase, "Then Satan entered Judas." Notice, Satan had to come into, penetrate, join, or share to be admitted. Yes, Satan, deceiver, murderer, accuser of the brethren, liar, and prince of darkness, must be admitted. I find these words encouraging. Without our consent, Satan has no power. Flip Wilson's comedy routines in the 60s and 70s with his portrayal of Geraldine Jones were funny. Geraldine's line, "The devil made me do it," became a slogan and an excuse whenever we failed. Yes, he was funny, but Flip was wrong. Satan cannot make me do anything. Without my consent or agreement, he is powerless. I am comforted because God's word tells me that God is love, light, and truth. As his child, I am a child of light. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, I invited God's love, light, and truth to enter and live in me. As I grow in righteousness, I surrender more living space to Christ. My body becomes his home. The Holy Spirit serves as my doorman and concierge. He has placed a no trespassing sign on the door to every room. The first floor has 1, light and truth, 2, love and compassion, 3, faith and salvation, 4, healing and deliverance, 5, victory and strength, 6, hope and expectation, and 7, confidence and trust. Second floor has 1, wisdom and discernment, 2, obedience and self-sacrifice, 3, breakthrough and miracles, 4, anointing and power, and 5, grace and favor. Top floor has 1, blessings and abundance, and 2, joy and peace. My house is full of spirit and life. Child of God, the next time Satan knocks, I encourage you to go boldly to the door, open it quickly without hesitation or fear, and confess the blood of Jesus over your life, home, and family. Tell Satan, I have a no trespassing policy here. It reads, no fear, unbelief, selfishness, disobedience, or sin allowed. Satan, you, every demonic spirit or principality and child of darkness are not welcome here. I refuse to let you in. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave now. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus and what his blood has purchased for my life. May every room in my house be filled with your presence and gifts of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, be fully alive within me. Teach me to never be afraid to answer a knock at my door. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Refuse to give up, cave in, or quit. Don't walk away from your divine destiny. First, a reading from Scripture, from Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. And he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spat on his eyes and had put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands again on his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw all clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Okay, I'm drawn to the persistence of the blind man's faith. He did not lose faith in Jesus' ability to heal him, even though the first touch only produced partial results. He chose to believe and trust Jesus until he experienced full healing and restoration. Sadly, many Christians cave in, give up, and quit before healing, restoration, and deliverance is fully manifested in their lives. They, like the blind man, do not see clearly at first. Full of despair, they say, I tried to believe and trust God, but it didn't work. God let me down. I guess God didn't hear my prayers, or maybe he just didn't care. Once they felt hopeful, they wanted to believe, but seeing only partial results, they quit trusting God. Now, disappointed, upset, and angry with God, they walk away from their divine destiny. Child of God, I encourage you to ask God to show you the times that you have given up, caved in, or quit. What miracles have you walked away from before they had time to fully manifest? When did you let go because you could not see clearly? I encourage you to have the faith of the blind man. Refuse to quit. Keep walking in faith. If you need a miracle in your life, come back to him, to your place of healing and restoration, as many times as it takes until you get all you need. Keep believing and trusting God until you, like the blind man, are healed and all is well. Father, thank you for this lesson on the need to be determined and persistent in my faith and trust in Jesus. Holy Spirit, help me to believe and trust in God no matter how long it takes before my miracle shows up. Help me to remember that God will never give up, cave in, or quit on me. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The dangers of roadside faith. Beware spiritual road rage. From Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, it is written, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road." All right, in this passage, Jesus explains the kingdom principle of seed time and harvest using the parable of the sower who throws seeds beside the road. We have worldly expressions for the point Jesus was making here. We hear one, if it is important, you have to repeat it several times and come back to see if they got it. Two, it just went in one ear and out the other. Three, I feel like I have to start over with her every day. Four, I am so frustrated it seems like he forgot everything we talked about yesterday. As leaders, managers, supervisors, and parents, we have all faced this situation and wondered what happened. In this verse, Jesus gives us the answer. God's word, seeds, was spoken and eternal truth was shared. Sadly, Satan grabs the words, twists the truth, and introduces a lie. Over time, the lie, twisted seed, takes root in the person's heart. God's word and godly truth never made it from the heart to the mind. Truth seeds failed to take root. We see this play out often in the church. The person hears the message and even expresses agreement with a hearty amen. Before the word can take root in their heart, renew their mind, and lead them to a new way of thinking and behaving, Satan grabs the truth and replaces it with a lie. Faith, renewal, and spiritual growth are dependent on God's word seeds. No seed, no faith, no growth. Child of God, are you planting God's word or seed deep in your heart? Do you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you and reveal the hidden mysteries behind the word? Do you confront Satan and rebuke him with the word every time you feel confused, anxious, or troubled? I encourage you to pray and ask for wisdom and discernment today. Ask God to anoint you with his grace, to protect and equip you so you can overcome every danger on the road of faith. Father, thank you for planting your word seed deep in my heart. Holy Spirit, help me to receive God's truth and renew my mind daily, that my faith will grow strong and healthy. Protect me from all of Satan's attacks as I walk on the road of faith. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The dangers of rocky faith. Finish the race and win the prize. First, a reading from Matthew 13, verses 20 and 21. The one on whom seed was sown on rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Now here, Jesus shares the parable of the sower who throws seeds on rocky ground. Sadly, even in the church, we have the experiences that support the point Jesus was making here. We hear, 1. John was on board with the ministry vision and totally supportive of last month, but now all he can talk about are the problems. 2. Diane started strong 6 weeks ago, but got frustrated and failed to finish her assignment. 3. Sue seemed so excited and eager at first, but today she resigned from the praise team. 4. Alex was so supportive of the new building campaign, but at the first sign of trouble, he is ready to throw in the towel. 5. Kathy has always been a fair-weather friend. 6. Bill was saying amen and hallelujah during the service, but he was cursing and yelling at the vision keepers pulling out of the church parking lot. Are you planting God's word deep in your heart and continuing to believe his word? Have you turned believing, trusting God, and walking in faith into a daily habit? Do you renew your mind daily with the word of God? Do you spend time daily in worship and prayer? Do you praise God and practice thankfulness in spite of your circumstances? Child of God, do you resemble a set of windshield wipers set on intermittent, where your faith is constantly on and then off again? I encourage you to pray and ask God to reveal situations at work, at home, or church where you started the race of faith but never finished because you encountered tests and trials. Commit today to turn away from your self-effort and turn instead to Jesus. Pray and ask Jesus for a fresh anointing of His abundant grace. In His grace, you will find the strength to endure the pain or every test, resist the urge to quit, and finish the race with joy. Lord, thank you for planting your word deep in my heart and for giving me the desire to continue in your word. Jesus, give me your grace, strength, and determination to run the race with confidence and boldness. Help me set my eyes on you, Jesus, and finish the race. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The dangers of thorny faith. Get rid of distractions and excuses. First, reading from Matthew 13, verse 22. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Matthew 13, verse 22. Okay, here, Jesus explains the parable of the sower who throws seeds on thorny ground. In Genesis, God spoke a curse over the ground following Adam's disobedience and declared that thorns and thistles would result. Thorns became the symbol of the curse. In this verse, we see what happens when faith seeds are planted in a heart that is full of thorns, worry, and deception. In this heart, faith is unable to grow or produce fruit. We have expressions for the point Jesus was making here. We hear, 1. I want to believe, but I just can't see how God would allow all this misery and suffering in the world. 2. I prayed and asked God to help me. Nothing happened, so I quit believing. 3. I worship God my own way. I don't think you need to go to church and give your money to some preacher. 4. I've considered tithing, but I never seem to have enough money to do so. A person with thorny faith claims they want to believe, but every yes is followed by a but. Thorns of fear, doubt, and unbelief choke and kill their faith before it can mature. Child of God, do you treat God like a vending machine, expressing frustration when you don't get the things you want and when you want them? Have wealth and possessions cursed the soil of your heart and choked your faith seeds? Do you have a love affair with expensive toys or spend more time pursuing hobbies than you do with God? If so, I encourage you to pray and ask God to give you a hunger and a thirst for His word and for His righteousness. He promises that your desire will be satisfied. Spend time daily in God's word and trust the Holy Spirit to help you mature in your faith. Find your strength in Jesus. Trust Jesus to soften your heart, remove the thorns, and give you a rich harvest. Lord, thank you for removing all the thorns from my life and giving me a clean and pure heart that my faith might grow strong. I will plant the incorruptible seed of your word in my heart. Rain your grace upon me, Jesus, and help me to produce rich and abundant fruit. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The purpose of tests. Tests are kingdom tools to draw you closer to God. From Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, we read, At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Now, the first few words of this verse capture my attention. It says, At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. To grasp its meaning, you must understand the fundamental laws and principles of the kingdom of God. God is a spirit being, and He created us in His image and likeness as spirit beings. God rules His kingdom. It is not a democracy. His kingdom operates according to basic spiritual laws and principles. It is built on love and operates according to the law of faith. Faith relies on belief in God's Word, Jesus incarnate, and the Holy Spirit to accomplish God's will. In God's kingdom, obedience leads to protection, favor, promotion, and increase. Self-sacrifice and service to others rule over selfishness. Humility rules over pride. Faithful obedience to kingdom laws generates confidence and hope. Life in the kingdom is filled with grace, blessings, and favor. Referring back to this passage, we see Jesus, the Son of God, anointed with the Spirit of God, being led into the desert to be tempted by Satan. Jesus' anointing, trust in God, obedience, and faithfulness are about to be tested. All of heaven watched as Jesus was tested and battled Satan. We read that angels attended to him after the tests. Never think that God and his angels are not watching, aware of, or interested in your tests. Never think that you are exempt from the tests, or that God doesn't care if you pass the tests. You must understand that new levels of anointing and kingdom promotions will always lead to new tests. Understand that passing each test will build your character and help your faith grow stronger. Child of God, I encourage you to pray and ask God to give you a new attitude about trials and tests. In these moments, remember Jesus' example. See tests as a kingdom tool to draw you closer to God. Celebrate and praise God when you pass the test. Know that God is leading you into your divine destiny. Father, thank you for Jesus' example of walking out your perfect will and calling on my life. Holy Spirit, lead me like you led Jesus, and help me pass every test with Satan. Jesus, I need your grace to pass every test. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. They were caused to stumble and fall. Who will you believe? First, a quotation from Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here among us? And they took offense at him, and were hurt. That is, they disapproved of him, and it hindered them from acknowledging his authority, and they were caused to stumble and fall. All right, this scene is very disturbing and grieves my spirit. Jesus did not get a hero's welcome from his family, friends, and neighbors. There were no parades or parties in his honor. While the crowds were initially astonished by his teaching and miracles, soon they became resistant, even offended, and refused to believe. They refused to accept that Jesus, the carpenter, son of Mary and Joseph, was the Son of God, Christ, the Messiah, source of great wisdom and miracles. Here, Jesus would always simply be the carpenter, a man like them. In his hometown, they were unable to acknowledge his identity, divine power, and purpose. The last part of this verse says, they were caused to stumble and fall. As I get to the word caused, my mind wanders. Who caused them to stumble and fall? Suddenly, the Holy Spirit reveals the answer. Satan, the liar, accuser, and deceiver of the brethren, appeared on the scene and hardened their hearts. He caused them to reject Jesus. Accepting Satan's lies, they rejected Jesus, and in turn rejected salvation, deliverance, healing, and restoration. Satan caused them to stumble and fall deeper into darkness. That day in Nazareth, Satan exercised his power of persuasion and won the battle. People that Jesus knew from childhood made a grave and eternal choice. In the raging battle for their minds and souls, they chose to reject Jesus, grace, truth, light, spirit, and life. Instead, they chose lies, sin, darkness, and eternal damnation. Child of God, as Christians, we must realize this scene plays out daily in our lives. We, too, must choose whom we are going to believe and follow. I encourage you to choose wisely, so you do not stumble and fall. Remember, your eternal salvation is at stake. Father, thank you for Jesus' victory on the cross. Today I commit to turn my heart to Jesus. I choose to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and walk in his grace, truth, and light. I reject Satan's lies and a life of sin and darkness. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The arena of faith. Step into the arena with confidence and boldness. First, a reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Every Sunday, football stadiums across the country are filled with loyal, screaming fans cheering for their favorite team. Like gladiators of old in the Colosseum of Rome, the players walk into the field and wage a battle of skill, strength, and endurance. They show us the power of the human will. In similar fashion, each day Christians walk onto the battlefield, the arena of faith, and wage spiritual war with Satan for control of our minds. Paul tells us the weapons of warfare have divine power to demolish strongholds and overcome every argument or claim that sets itself against God. As Christians, we must decide whom we believe and where we will live each day. Will we believe the eternal, unchanging truth of God's Word? Will we trust God and His Word, set our eyes on Jesus, and follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven? Will we believe Satan's lies and live as citizens of the world? Will we challenge every thought, feeling, and action that contradicts God's Word? Will we allow fear, doubt, and unbelief to cause us to turn away from God? When compared to sports, our daily life as a Christian entails a far more significant and eternal struggle in the arena of faith. Understand this, it is not a game, but a brutal and bloody spiritual war with Satan and demonic forces. We are no longer spectators watching from the safety of our seats. We must engage our enemy. The prize is no longer a shiny trophy, but our very lives and eternal salvation. Child of God, I encourage you to walk boldly into the arena. We have a faithful champion named Jesus. Trust him and fight the good fight, knowing that in Christ the victory is yours. Father, thank you for giving me a faithful champion in Jesus. Jesus, I will follow you and walk boldly into the arena of faith and fight the good fight. Holy Spirit, remind me that the eternal victory is mine. Satan is defeated for all time. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Step into the ring and fight. Don't be afraid to fight. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, we read, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Reading this verse, I'm prompted to ask fellow Christians, 1. Why do we seem to think that our life will be easy and trouble-free? 2. Why are we surprised whenever we are under attack? 3. Why are we lazy and have such little understanding of God's Word and the need for spiritual training? 4. Why are we so weak and ready to cave in, give up, or quit when the world makes fun of us and spiritual warfare begins? 5. Why are we afraid to fight? I say to fellow Christians, you may have been a peaceful and easygoing person your whole life, but now it is time to fight. It is time to start a disciplined regimen of intensive spiritual training. Get on a strict daily diet of God's Word and prayer. Renew your mind with God's Word. Change your thinking and behavior. If you ever hope to win the fight of faith, you must subject your body to a rigid routine of holiness and learn to say no to selfish desires. You must walk in love with God and man at all times. You must refuse to give in to fear, doubt, and unbelief, selfishness, and the impulse to go along with the world. You must control your emotions and do what is right, even when you don't feel like it. You must fight and win over every temptation, test, and trial. You must come to realize that God wants you to prosper in every area of your life. You must resist the temptation to believe the facts of your situation over God's word. Child of God, walk in your divine power and authority. Quit waiting on God to solve every problem. I encourage you to confess every day, I will fight today, and every day, I will not be afraid. Jesus, you won the ultimate battle on the cross. Satan is defeated. Jesus, you are in me, and through your grace, I win all the time, no matter what. Father, thank you for Jesus' victory on the cross and for the redeeming power of his blood. Holy Spirit, today I receive your gift of grace, peace, courage, boldness, and supernatural strength to fight and win every fight. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Irreconcilable differences. Choose your relationships carefully. First, hear this quotation from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Now, daily, we see headlines about a famous couple announcing they are getting divorced. The reason they give is irreconcilable differences. Truth is, this is old news. In this verse, written almost 2,000 years ago, Paul warned us about this. He told us to be on guard for irreconcilable differences. Webster's dictionary defines irreconcilable as incapable of being brought into harmony, adjustment, or compromise. The parties involved are incompatible or contrary, opposed in character, and cannot coexist. Contrary parties will never live in peace and harmony. As Christians, we must ask ourselves, what irreconcilable differences exist in important relationships in my life, professionally, personally, and spiritually? We must accept the truth that children of God, light, are contrary to children of Satan, darkness. Likewise, the kingdom of God is at odds and contrary to the world. Faith and belief are contrary to doubt and unbelief. Love and compassion are contrary to selfishness and indifference. Life in the Spirit is contrary to life in the flesh. Righteousness and holiness are contrary to sin. God's truth is contrary to the lies of Satan. Peace and contentment are contrary to worry and discontent. Servant leadership and self-sacrifice are contrary to selfishness and the desire to be served. Reconciliation is contrary to separation. Health and vitality are contrary to sickness and disease. Humility, obedience, and submission are contrary to pride, disobedience, and rebellion. Surrender to God's will is contrary to self-reliance. Hope and confidence are contrary to hopelessness and despair. Blessings are contrary to curses. Life and victory are contrary to defeat and death. Child of God, are you living in a state of peace and harmony with others, or experiencing contrary or irreconcilable differences? Invite Jesus, our Prince of Peace, to shine his light on all the important relationships in your life. Walk in his love, peace, and truth at all times. I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you separate yourself from everything that is contrary to God and his word. Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, so that by faith in him, I was separated from darkness and became a child of light. May the truth and light of your word penetrate every area of darkness in my life. Help me live in peace and harmony with others. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The mildew of sin. Even a little sin can be dangerous. Here is a quotation from Romans chapter 7, verse 19. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now Paul warns us about sin and suggests it has a mind of its own. Sin desires to rule our lives and find expression in our actions regardless of our good intentions or desires. Sin seeks to multiply and take over your life. Like mildew, it quietly grows, and, left unchecked, It spreads rapidly. It starts in our thinking, moves to our heart, and then makes its way into our actions. Soon it has become a habit. We just do it. Satan uses the mildew of sin to separate us from God. To treat mildew in the world, you must take the following steps. First, turn up the heat and dry the air to remove moisture. Second, seal all openings to prevent future exposure and moisture. Third, clean the contaminated area with strong chemicals to kill the mildew. And fourth, remove items that have decayed because of the mildew. In the spiritual realm, pleading the blood of Jesus works in every situation to destroy and prevent the mildew of sin. Trusting the blood of Jesus will enable you to, first, turn up the heat by meditating on the Word of God and spending time in prayer. Second, to protect your mind and heart by sealing all gates of access, eyes, ears, and mouth. Third, apply God's Word to help you cleanse your mind and heart from all doubt, fear, worry, and unbelief. Fourth, rely on the Holy Spirit to help you regulate the atmosphere by removing people and situations that thrive on darkness and defy God. Child of God, are you a good custodian of your mind and heart? I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you any area where mildew of sin exists in your life. Once you discover it, go to work immediately. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you do a thorough cleaning. Trust the blood of Jesus and get your spiritual house in order. Kill the mildew of sin in your life and live in the light of God. Father, thank you for the life-changing power of your word. Holy Spirit, help me to establish God's word in my mind and heart. Give me a desire for faithful obedience, that I might keep my spiritual house clean and free from any mildew of sin. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I am still standing on God's word and his grace. First, a quotation from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Okay, people who are experiencing challenging and difficult times will often speak a curse over their life and say, I've been down so long, I don't think I'll ever get up. As a Christian, I find comfort in Paul's words. They encourage me. Paul tells us that we may be, one, pressed, but we will not be crushed, two, perplexed, but not in despair, three, persecuted, but not abandoned by God, and four, struck down, but not destroyed. In session with my clients, I teach them to speak God's word over themselves and their family. I stress that when we talk about spiritual warfare, trials, or challenges, they need to say, I have been bruised and wounded, but by God's grace, I am still standing. I emphasize the importance of turning to God whenever they face trials and difficulties. I remind them to walk in the Spirit and fight the good fight of faith. Together we read the scriptures that tell us victory has already been won. I recount the fact that Satan is a stubborn loser and refuses to accept that he's already lost. I remind them that on the cross, Jesus won, and in Christ, we win every time. Child of God, in the midst of trials, speak boldly to Satan and tell him, in the name of Jesus, I will not be afraid. Stand on God's word and confront Satan with the word of God, and he will flee from you. Before the trial is over, praise God for the victory that is yours and walk it out. See your problems as just another opportunity to develop your faith and to grow spiritually. Whenever you hear someone say they feel overwhelmed, depressed, beaten down, share this verse or this devotional. Be an encourager. Share your testimony with others. Remind them to speak the truth of God's word over their life. Teach them that in the midst of trials, to say with a thankful heart, I have been bruised and wounded, but by God's grace, I am still standing. Father, thank you for the truth of your word that promises me that I am covered by the blood of Jesus. His blood guarantees me victory and the power to overcome any test or trial. Holy Spirit, in the midst of trials, help me remember that I win every battle. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Forget DEET. Put on God's armor of light. Jesus protects us from Satan's pests. First, from Scripture, Romans chapter 13, verse 12, "The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." Now, Paul encourages us to get ready for the day of Christ's return by shedding our coat of sin and darkness and preparing to fight evil with weapons of the light. In certain parts of the South, especially along the Gulf Coast, mosquitoes are very prevalent. They surround you and attack every inch of exposed skin. Tourists will often cover their body from head to toe with insect repellent sprays or creams like DEET or Off Deep Woods. Locals will use bath oils and citronella candles indoors, but take a more basic approach when they go outside. They try to avoid being out after dark and cover every inch of bare skin, especially in the swamps and bayous. Living close to the Gulf, I thought about mosquitoes as I read Paul's words. Mosquitoes are relentless pests that always seem to find you. They will swarm and bite, draw blood, and leave a painful welt. They can even infect you with deadly diseases. Mostly, they're a nuisance or an irritation. As Christians, we need to expect supernatural or spiritual pests. They are Satan's pets and have names: fear, doubt, worry, unbelief, selfishness, pride, hurt, anger, resentment, jealousy, lust, envy, and greed. Are you ready and prepared to face them as you go out into the world each day? Have you put aside sin and rebelliousness, stubbornness, and disobedience to God and His Word? Child of God, are you living under God's covering and protection? Have you taken all the precautions you need to stay safe? Have you covered yourself head to toe with the oil of righteousness? In times of spiritual warfare, have you applied God's armor of light to repel Satan's pesky spirits of darkness? I encourage you to forget DEET and Off Deep Woods. Instead, plead the blood of Jesus over your life and walk in God's light. It works every time, in every situation. Father, thank you for the protective covering of your word, your love, mercy, and grace. Jesus, your blood gives me all the protection and covering I need to repel the pests of darkness. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.